You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guests are Janet Barrett and Joan Newcomb. Joan and Janet host Conscious Conversations on Wednesdays here at BBS Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Janet Barrett is a subtle energy empath whose life is about exploring spirit in a physical body. Using various consciousness technologies, she offers her clients fresh perspectives and tracks the metaphors through language and stories. Joan Newcomb is a conscious mastery coach who empowers others to navigate life from inner wisdom. She provides tools to blaze your own trail, see new possibilities, and integrate greater awareness in daily life and work. She's authored two books, Tapestry of Time, Transformative Fiction, and Mystic Musings, a compilation of essays from her blog and weekly e-zine. You can find them both here at BBS Radio on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. PST. So let's welcome them to the show now. Hi, Joan and Janet. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Lance.
Hi. Well, I just want to thank you both for the wonderful show that you had me on as a guest. I had so much fun with that. And so it's really, you know, now it's your turn to be on the receiving end of the, connected to the the phone, but isn't it funny how there's like a switch or something that gets flipped when you're the guest?
Yeah, we're sitting on the couch now and you're behind the desk.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I look at this as a collaboration. We're standing together as one. So
we're doing it from three different locations, which is always amazing to me, Lance. So we're really close today. I'm in San Diego. Joan's in Tacoma. You're where? I don't know where you are.
I'm in Placerville, California, in Gold Country.
Oh, beautiful there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun the last few days. I'm doing a lot of work on the gardens and rototilling and weeding and planting and communicating with fairies and divas and elementals. So, you know, my day is so much fun just playing with the spirit of things. But let's find out more about you guys. How did you find your individual paths, and then how did you come together to do your show?
Well, Joan, you want to take it from the top? You go for it.
Oh, great. Well, I was actually going to say the same thing to you, but I'll go ahead and start first. I started this a long time ago. I started with metaphysical training when I was 22, and I went through 5 years of training with a metaphysical mystery school that was based on first century Christian mysticism with some Eastern mysticism thrown in. So I was doing readings and healings, or readings and psychic healings and things like that from a very early age. About 14 years into that, I did a switch, and I actually did some work with Findhorn. I went to Findhorn 3 times. So you were talking about working with nature spirits and elementals. That's right up my alley. That was a huge expansion to my universe. Let me see. So I had that background in all of those sort of energy work type things. But to me nowadays, although I still love communicating with nature and nature spirits and devas, I also have shifted. So I would call that old energy work a little bit more like Newtonian physics. And the work that Janet and I do now is a little bit more like quantum physics. And actually that leads up to how I met Janet. We were both at a seminar to do this leading edge kind of energy work that we do now. And she and I became friends over time with the studies of this. But specifically, one thing was I had been at this seminar and I had poured boiling water on my hand. Janet put her hand over mine, and she had just boiled. I really should have lost the skin off my hand or something. And within hours, it was fine. So that's my. Now it's your turn, Janet. Tell everybody about you.
Well, let's see. I was always, I guess, metaphysical, like clairaudient, clairsentient. Any clair, I had it, I did it. And also, I was very ill. And it took years of being able to help people, but I was so sick. So in doing that, I'm getting a lot of feedback, so I don't know if that's my phone or what's going on. I hope I'm being here clear. So it was very helpful. Lots of different trainings on metaphysics and that kind of thing, and channeling was a natural. But I was getting really, really ill, and I couldn't deal with situations and people. So I wound up learning about consciousness technologies, a couple of different things, and it started to make a difference. And I realized that the box that I had built was needed to be different. And no one else could do that but me, and changing how I had framed my work, my world, and my life. And so Joan and I met at one of those great transformational experiences weekends, and Matrix Energetics, which I'll forever be grateful for them. And I still participate with them. And it's really just made a difference. My health is much better. I've been able to go back and work with people and clients, and really take a story fascinates me. Metaphors, language fascinate me, and how we frame our world and how to help people. If I can change, maybe you can too, because I don't think I'm anything special. So then Joan and I thought, you know, we have to help other people. It's easy to do, and how can we help and share? So we enjoy the radio show very much.
Now, what was I kind of missed that part about the transformational experiences, because I've done EST in the sixth day, and I just had a couple of guests who did the Matrix Energetics.
Great.
Yeah, so I was wondering, could you repeat what was the transformational experience that you had shared?
Well, I had first done work with Ewan. Grandmaster, Ewan, Cam Ewan, and technology. So I had training in that, and I was helping, et cetera. And I was getting better, but only to a certain point. And then I was doing work with Grandmaster Fu, which is a different Qigong, Yimi Qigong. And then it was Matrix Energetics was just coming into being.
So you've also done Matrix Energetics. That's
what I've been doing for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing that for 10 years. And Joan and I met at one of those seminars.
Oh, wonderful. So
2006,
I just had Alex Krakeling and Allison come through here on their way to Mount Shasta. And Alex did a healing on me, and so did Allison using Matrix Energetics. I loved it. I thought it was fabulous.
Yes.
It definitely works. And, of course, there are all kinds of different ways to approach this, but I liked it, and it definitely shifted my vibrations.
Oh, good. I'll be sure. I'm going to a seminar for them next month, and I've been helped facilitate it over, I think it's 55 different seminars over the years, and it's just incredible to be with people who believe in potential and that as real. And so I heartily recommend it to anybody. And
so when did Allison and when did they do the energy work on you?
Oh, that was no more than a couple of weeks ago. Alex came in from Hawaii, and Allison flew in from New York, and they met in L.A. and drove up to Mount Shasta. And I was going to camp with them, but I had a radio show to do that night. But Alex is quite a fascinating person. Right. He's Alex Crickling. He's got quite a few people that, you know, follow his whereabouts.
Well, and so Allison, the reason why I was asking you this is because this energy work has like a reverberative effect. So, you know, you may have a session and you might feel effects right then, but what it happens is like, you know, a few days later, a few weeks later. So I've had clients call me back and say, you know, I came to you for the session and I had this laundry list of things that I wanted done, and now everything has fallen into place, you know, so you'll have an effect physically on one level, but then all these other aspects of things will fall into place in your life as well. So I'm inviting you to notice what else might have be going on in your universe that might have stemmed from the healing work you just had done.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question that what Allison did was kind of impromptu in the kitchen, and
I loved it.
You know, moving this around and that around and connecting. It felt so so cool and right, because I do the same thing in my own particular fashion. So I went with it, and I'm telling you, I've had a lot of different healings the last month, just coincidentally. So it has all kind of merged and melded into a synthesis of, you know, being in the now. And things are just... I mean, things are just off the charts as far as spontaneity and creativity and also synchronicity, right?
Yes.
Well, the best of what all life is to me is that if you're in the being present, and whatever you want that to mean, it's about being open to all the opportunities that are available to us at any one moment to be different. Mm-hmm. And if you start at that place and you're in that state of awareness, then you're open and you can notice something different happening. And we're trained to notice that. And, you know, you have a broad background in any consciousness technologies. That's the focus, right, is that state of potential, that what is right now is different than what was, and it's different than what the future is, because it's right now. You can do something here. And most people aren't present that way. They're in their past, and they're in their future, and when they worry, they've already got it figured out what their options are. So they're not in the present. And so, you know, we to help people, What's nice about you, Lance, is with your broad background is that you can see the synchronicity, you can see the unfolding, you can feel all how your life, it has all these opportunities to it. And that's what Joan and I hold awareness of, and that's what we look to invite other people to.
And I want to jump in on what Janet was saying, because, you know, she's talking about many people are geared towards the past. And one of the things when you do this work is change happens. And so we tell clients to notice what is different, because when you're noticing what has changed, you notice what is different. You're allowing the transformation to continue to unfold. If you go out and you can say, well, gosh, you know, my elbow still hurts, you know, or you reset the session back to before it happened. So do you see the difference? And so being present to the moment, but also noticing what is different or what is changing, validates and allows the transformation again to unfold.
Because whatever we focus on is where our power goes.
Yes.
So, it is so easy to notice, and I sincerely believe that it's just how you're trained.
Yeah.
Is that you either notice the good things in your life, and that's the framework that you work out of, or you notice the negative things in your life, and that's the framework you work out of. And neither is right or wrong. It just sets up different events to happen. Mm-hmm. And you experience different frames of reference then, in my languaging. And I'm not going to judge any of that because that's just something else to happen. So in being aware that where my transformation came in the physical sense of, well, I was dying, so there's no two ways about it. And I had a laundry list of stuff that was doing me in. And unless I changed how I did that, and I came to that because I'd been so ill, and Deepak Chopra was just getting big then, and he was talking about how the cell only lives, I don't know, 24 hours or whatever. But if you change the cell, you change the process, right? And it took me 25 years to figure out how to do that.
Well, you know, it does seem to boil down, well, and nothing boils down to one thing, but it does seem to be emerging as a quantum physics situation, that it's really the eternal and infinite now, and we are in it, and it has multiple facets and aspects that we can tap into, however you choose to language that. And as you said, it's a matter of changing perspective and focus, and that's like Carlos Castaneda's assemblage point, that the shamans can shift the assemblage point, and then they're literally in another dimension.
Yeah.
I think what's key is everybody realizing that they have the power to shift that. Most of us are entrained to think that power comes from outside of us, right? And so we go to people to fix us or heal us or to do us and whatever. But, you know, it doesn't matter whatever anyone else does, is because we just allow for something different to be present. It's up to the individual and their state of consciousness and what they want to do. So you have to be willing to make the effort for it to be different, but you have to understand that it can be different. And I think that's where we fall down so much, is we get so entrained in our belief systems, in our family patterns, et cetera, that we don't understand that it could be different. And, you know, so we're waiting for someone else to solve our problems all the time. And it's been so enriching and enhancing and transformational, transcending in my own process, that that's what we offer people, right, is that I can do it, you can do it. There's no difference. It's just how I choose to frame it.
Well, didn't somebody say that a couple thousand years ago, this and more you will do?
Right. If I can, yes. What I can do, you can do also, right?
Yeah, and they've been saying that for all, you know, all these millions of years. I'm guessing millions of years, tens of thousands of years anyway. And, you know, the message is similar, that the power is within. And by going within, changing the focus and not looking out at the projection for your reality, but going within and being the reality and literally overflowing with energy, your own energy, that you are bringing your own light forth as a being of light.
Well, I think what we also have to do, because there's so many different ways to look at and have an experience, right? And we are all unique and have our own twinge about things. And there are all these different traditions. And I think what's exciting these days, though, about consciousness technologies is because when you introduce the idea of potential into the question, that's what opens it up to be different, because a lot of traditions do meditation or metaphysics or whatever it is, and there's really not the key to opening the door to being different. A lot of stuff is predicated in metaphysics. You know, you work from that place. We see the future. We can read information. And you have to be open and curious about what you're noticing in a way that says, oh, it's not going to be this. This is just, and you do hear this with people a lot who go, okay, if nothing changes, this is what I can tell you about, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, if nothing changes is the key. Everything can change.
So I'm jumping on what Janet just said there too, that the you know, what is to me so unique and unusual about consciousness technologies is that you do come to it with a beginner's mind, and you're not trying to fix the problem, you know, and you're not trying to change or manipulate something. You're just present in the moment to what is showing up in the moment. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I had the hardest time with this because by the time I started with this consciousness technology energy work, you know, I was an expert in my field, and I was extremely uncomfortable doing this, and yet I was having these amazing results. And what I'll still find this when I'm doing a session is that in the middle of it there'll be this moment where I'm going, what? I have no idea what I'm doing, and why am I charging for this? And that's when I know the miracle is happening. You know, you just have to respond to what's going on, and this more stupid you feel probably is the more effective you're being with it. So I've had, you know, I had a client that I was working on, and they had a brain tumor that and they were in hospice, and the brain tumor started shrinking, and they lived for another 2 years. I don't know how that happened, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but and Janet has a whole list of stories like that too. So,
there's so much is possible, so much has happened. You know, it's just I didn't have a framework with my family background that life was bliss. That was something way out there. And to be able to not assume anything, which is what we do in our work, is we just drop into what we call the field of the heart and be present, not have any agenda except to notice in a way that's useful what shows up and engage it from that place in the reality of where we are just bits and pieces and photons and light. You can transcend so much. I have seen so much happen for people. I've seen so much happen for myself. I've not only seen it, I've felt it, I've become it. So, it's so simple. It really is so simple. And, there's a willing to engage my life that way, right? Mm. Yeah. Right. So you yourself, Lance, have a broad background. Did you start out from a happy, blissful state that life was good, or was this something that you had to work your way into?
Do you want to repeat that?
I think Janet just climbed over behind your desk, but go ahead.
Are you turning the tables on me? Now.
Yeah. I'm standing on my side of the fire with the marshmallows.
Well, I am going up to Shasta in a week, I'm going to do a live show up there with a shamanic musician who is just off the charts with the energy. So this is a whole new direction for me, and I'm going to be doing a video of it. So,
I think the reason I mentioned it is because doesn't that, your experience, your past, isn't it your past?
Well,
it's not your future, right?
Well,
it's your past.
Yeah, exactly. And in the S training in the sixth day, we kind of got that, you know, that's history. And, you know, the present is now, and the future doesn't exist yet. So with the Gurdjieff-Spensky training in the 70s, I was in an esoteric school learning how to be present and how to create a permanent I or center of awareness and become a man number 4, 5, 6, and 7. And so that was all very entertaining for a minute. but, you know, as things do go in the course of octaves, there's a place where things can deviate. And indeed, most teachings and situations do deviate unless there's conscious intent to hold the direction through the Mi, Fa, and Si, Do intervals. and or however you want to see that. There's a point at the beginning where we lose interest, and there's a point at the end of a project. And that's where we poop out, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm too tired to finish this. So that's where a deviation in the course can occur. And that particular school ended up becoming a cult, as far as I'm concerned. And it became quite a controlling situation, so that, you know, if those who left would lose their opportunity to have conscious awareness, because they were dead, they were in life, and life people were dead and doomed to, whatever, you know. It's all emotional blackmail and psychic, interference with the psychic realms. And there is a lot of... You both are highly psychic and empathic, and I'm wondering if you notice that there's a lot of interference patterns from the numerous astral realms where various entities, the reptilians, if you like, greys and whatever, various ET races, are run lines into this planet and pretty much have things under control here as far as the running of the three-dimensional realms.
Hmm. Well, you know, I don't play that game anymore. So,
okay.
You know, that was a great gift for me in stepping into consciousness technologies. Is it took me out of those areas of fear and control and good and bad. You know, I come from now that, you know, we are all consciousness, and as consciousness, we are infinite. We are the cosmic internet. You know, we have all the knowledge, we have all the power and information that we need. It's just these little bodies and personalities the little body personalities are the ones that feel fearful and that we're being controlled from something outside.
Right.
If you identify with that, you're gonna find the world fearful.
Right.
If you identify with yourself as consciousness, then you tap into this infinite power, and all that stuff just disintegrates. That's, you know, that's sort of lower dimensional stuff, is my experience.
So for me, I engage that in that's a whole lot of. I'm a triple Libra, okay, so I know about judgment, okay, and I realized that was all judgment.
Yeah.
In those kind of conversations. And that is consciousness. I cannot judge myself. Everything is okay. So, and, you know, I want to hear everybody who's going to talk about conspiracies and Hitler and all these different things, and I'm going to say, so what? I'm going to say, get out of your judgment about it. It is not right or wrong. There's both right and wrong from a moral, human little place, little view. But as consciousness in the big picture, it doesn't matter. It's just about having experiences. It's about making choices. It's what you as consciousness embodied are looking to pursue. And, you know, we are full of a lot of judgment. We are so full of judgments all the time. And they run us and our thinking and biases. And that's all perceptual biases that we've set up. So when I don't get into those kind of conversations. That's one thing that Joan and I enjoy, is the freedom from just allowing stuff to be, and how is it useful? You know?
That makes a lot of sense. And I've noticed the same thing here, that I have spent a lot of years going down the conspiracy rabbit holes, and I've had numerous guests on that are, you know, quite knowledgeable about various things that are going on. And within the last year or so, I found that dissolving, as you said. It's as if it's melting away. You know, it's just not relevant to being present in the moment. You know, yes, I look up and I see chemtrails in the sky, and I know they're there, and you know, so what am I going to do? Go out and beat the drums about chemtrails and start groups and all that? There are enough people doing that, and there were people doing that 10, 15 years ago. And so It's a so what.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really have realigned myself to the awareness that life is good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's it. Life is good.
And then that shows up, right?
And yes. That shows up. And you it doesn't mean that life gets easy, easy peasy. It just means that my underlying placement is that when stuff happens, because stuff happens, because we're always co-creating with other people, that I'm more likely to come back to a place of, you know, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't go to those places where I have to generate illness. I don't go to those places where I have to devalue someone else to make me feel good.
Right.
I don't do that anymore. And in right. not doing that, I'm being in a whole different place, and I like where I am in that.
And well, and it seems that the world operates under a need to manipulate, control, and dominate. And so mm-hmm. most of life is geared towards duality and thinking in black and white, which is simply engenders more of the same stuff. And so mm-hmm. when people are trying to manipulate, and we were born probably in a similar time during the mm-hmm. beginnings of the television in 1950, I was born, and so this marketing thing has grown and developed until they are so slick that, you know, I can hear this from 10 miles away. You know, I hear the closing arguments coming, and mm-hmm. And I can't be around that energy, so I don't have it in my house. And television is not something that I watch. So, in mm-hmm. fact, I'm so sensitive that I have to turn my modem off at night, and sometimes I have to turn the power off in the house. You know, the
yeah.
wiring, it becomes so obtrusive at times when I'm in a certain state. Do you guys find that you're sensitive to electronic, you know, systems that are around you?
Go ahead, Joan. You take it.
Well, you know, I'm not just sensitive to. I am sensitive. I am actually my challenge, and Janet and I are both empaths, so we talk about this a lot. But I track people emotionally, and you know, I'll track my relatives on the East Coast. I have a son in Spain, so I'm also I get my time zones go off because I'll be tracking what's going on there as well. So you know, I tune into people emotionally. The electronic things is like the least of my challenges, I think.
I do electronics. That's why this is funny. She does emotions.
Yeah.
I do electronics. I get near a computer and it starts doing things, right? I don't do a lot of Facebook. I don't do a lot of these things because I push a button and something happens. And I push the same button again and something different happens. And I used to, electromagnetic stuff used to just be a real problem. And my husband, finally he was homesick one day and he heard me in the computer that we share, and I was yelling, you know, screaming for him to come fix something, and he looked and he said, "Get away from the computer." And that was the first time he was so vehement. He got it. You know, he saw me push a button and something happened. So, yeah, no, electrical and chemicals, forget it.
Wow.
I'm much better than I used to be. I mean, you know, how light bulbs flicker and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I used to do all that.
Well, it's funny because I just had Nancy L. Hopkins on, and she is a big proponent of shungite, which is a Russian stone that has quantum physics properties. And they have these things called Bucky Band-Aids, and you stick this on your computer, your modem, or your cell phone, or whatever, and it's supposed to neutralize the energy at a quantum level. It changes the quantum field. So I don't understand how any of that stuff works, but I do try these things, and I love it. And now I have these three stones in my distilled water, and I do seem to notice a difference in using it, so I'm just going to keep using them.
I could probably eat those stones. That would be more useful.
You must have very sharp teeth.
You just
I'm
smell the bowl
and
pepper from the inside out.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some of the fun things that are going on for you right now? I mean, you know, what are some of the things that you're noticing about, you know, the universes and the realities and stuff like that that you'd like to share about?
Go for it, John. You track all that really well.
Well, what I've been noticing is patterns unraveling, and I have been noticing I'm noticing patterns unraveling, and I'm noticing that the people who are most attached to these patterns that are unraveling are the ones that are making the most noise about it. So, you know, it's kind of like the dinosaurs in Congress are, you know, really upset that their old white male paradigm is disintegrating. So they're trying to do what they can to reinstall the values from the 1950s or the 1930s, you know, or the 1850s. You know, they're trying to reinstall those values as they are going extinct. And all of, you know, and I was talking about earlier about, you know, that our little bodies and, you know, it's our little body personalities. And those things are all going on simultaneously with this massive, massive increase of consciousness coming into the world, expressing in the world. Our awareness of consciousness is expanding. So there's an increase of a sense of internal or individual power going on simultaneously. So it's a really, really exciting time to be alive, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my take on that is that since doing this kind of work, I understand the power of chaos.
Mm.
And I understand about attachment. And I understand about not being attached to how change happens. And sometimes that just exactly what chaos is, everything is in an uproar. And that is actually such a magical time. And I think we're all very aware that that's a lot of what's happened in the world in these last 5-10 years, is our systems are breaking down into potential. And that it creates chaos, and it's not always pretty and easy or fun and light and lovely. But what comes out of that is the potential for all of us become our own leaders. And I think that's cosmically something on this plane has really been lacking, is self-leadership. We are learning how to say, this is who I am and this is what's important to me. We have always come from a place of someone more powerful telling us what to do. And it's really about the collective coming into power. And I'm a 100th monkey principle person. I've always enjoyed that and how change happens. And if it was just as simple as someone, you know, putting a piece of food on a rock and hitting another rock on it, and then everybody else started doing that, what would that be like? What if it is that simple, but we just can't see it that way in our reality? And so I think there's a lot going on. We certainly, Joan has the astrological end of our relationship down pretty good. She tracks all that kind of thing. And I'm just like, I'm the physical end of it. Oh, yeah, I feel that. I'm like, what's going on today, Joan? Because it don't feel too good, you know?
Yeah, I'm not an astrologer, but I enjoy the astrological weather forecast. But the other thing that I do enjoy is the communication between nature and devas and tuning into the cycles of nature. So, I mean, I really come alive in March, in around the time of the equinox, and I align my growth cycles to nature as well. So it sounds like you, Lance, have a bit of that going on too.
Mm. Yeah, well, that has made a lot of sense, especially when I was doing so much research with the radio show and the people who were involved with the, you know, the 2012 phenomenon, or 2011, according to Carl Kalaman. And then Barbara Hand Clow was big on the equinoxes, and of course you've got the Egyptian pyramids and you've got the different time cycles. So I did a lot of research on that, And, of course, I don't understand it, and I can't remember what I researched, but I do remember that the equinoxes and the lunar cycles seem to be more natural than the calendrical cycles that we are following. So, but I just notice things intuitively, and it's always been my way to kind of, you know, when I studied crystals, I read a lot of books on it, I tried different things, and I always ended up doing my own thing. And it was not usually in any of the books. So, you know, I think you find that for yourselves, don't you? That when people are truly empowered and sourcing from within, that they can do anything, pretty much anything, and that it's infinite and limitless, and that there's no right or way, wrong way to do things. And we're always looking for validation on, well, what's the right way to do it? Or what about this guy? And what about that? And we're looking for these gurus and people to worship and put on pedestals. And I think that's a big hindrance to awakening. And it creates more entrenched and entangled belief systems. And I work pretty diligently on examining my beliefs on a moment-to-moment basis. Because that sometimes they can create restrictions that are hampering the flow. Hemping. Speaking about hemp, that seems to be a big topic today.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to echo something Jana had said earlier too. We've evolved to a point where we don't, you know, we don't need gurus. We don't have gurus. We are our own gurus, you know. So we have come to a point where we are the expert in our lives, and it's about accessing our greater wisdom within. So, you know, doing it your own way is exactly, you know, is exactly what we're about now. And so, you know, if you read books and all, you're accessing older information, and it's a little bit like the difference between, you know, finding something online rather than finding it in a book. You'll find the most leading edge stuff has just been, you know, just been written. So write your own books now is what I'd say.
Yeah.
Well, I think in following up on that is that it is about each of us. And that means we are totally responsible for ourselves. And most of us are very unaware of how much who we think we are is not really us, but a collection of beliefs, learning, trainings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from outside sources that were impressed upon us due to time, circumstances, whatever, that we have assumed are our own, and they're not. Because that's what I find with my clients, is it's usually a whole bunch of information that is not what they would perceive as their own personal truth. And truth is this very elusive thing that we have all this mythology about, that, okay, it's fact and truth, when really your truths are just what they are in the moment, but most of us get hung up on the past. And when being curious and questioning are the two strongest human traits, I think.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do you question and do you have curiosity to challenge yourself, to challenge others, and your willingness? We, the three of us, I'll just put that out there, have a commitment to challenging ourselves. And it's not always pretty, because that's the old belief systems that we're coming out of for ourselves. So my belief system is that life is good, and it's up to me to figure out how to be good and easy, right? And so what I come up against with issues in my life anymore are really from this neutral place about, okay, there you are in your emotional attachment, et cetera. There you are in your story about what this is. I finally get to hear myself, and that's why I appreciate certainly working with Joan and all the people that I do, because I can hear bias like crazy. And most of us are very unclear about how biased we are in certain, about anything.
Right, right.
and understanding, I'm the one, ooh, excuse me, I set up that bias. Gosh, darn. Oh, I did that. All right.
Uh-huh.
How is that useful? So I'm constantly viewing myself as this unfolding creature. And there's nothing really that I'm afraid of. I don't have a problem with death because I'm like, whoa, you know, it's taken everything to get here. It can only be good on the other side too, right? You know, I mean, and get rid of that whole bias about spirituality and spirit and all those references that we all are very familiar with and how they're not really useful except for keeping us small, for keeping us in pain.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know, and I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that anymore. I saw what it did to me and I'm not going there anymore. Doesn't mean I'm as far along as I'd like to be, but at least I have some awareness that says, do you have to really be that way? No, you don't.
And do you guys find, too, that the more that gets peeled away, the more childlike and innocent and quest and kind of playful that our essence is, that it's like life unfolds and shows us what's new and what's next, and it's almost like a magic carpet ride when you get on that magic carpet and life shows you. And you're just simply present and in awe of and in wonder at all the things that are just revealing themselves to you. And that's what I find, is my childlike essence starts to come out, and I can't contain it sometimes at the grocery store. So I'm talking to a cabbage and saying, oh, my, you're so beautiful. I just never noticed you. And people are looking at me like I'm crazy. Well, I can do that because I'm the zany mystic. So some people will look over and they wink, and we start conversations, and we talk about cabbages and kings. And carrots and the rest of it.
Yeah, it's when the broccoli gets jealous, you know. That's when you got to start
questioning. Oh, I know it. Oh, and that asparagus. Oh, those spears, you know.
Well, I think what you're talking about, for me, is I refer to that as innocence gaining experience. I don't think innocence is ever lost.
Right.
I think what it does is it gains experience. So we have all these setups where we can become a victim. You know, that's 99% of the world. 99% of the world runs on the victim belief system.
Yes.
And I look to not do that. So if I'm just innocent, which is the child like of me, that is just gaining experiences and then getting to make a discernment and a judgment out of those distinctions, that's where that fun that you're talking about is about. And so, you know, a lot of people come from a place that they can't navigate new ways to engage that innocence. So we hear child's play, that term a lot. And a lot of people, being a child is not a good place. So immediately they're triggered into a negative association when they're trying to be doing something positive. So I appreciate language that way and removing all those barriers because, theoretically, child's play is nice. Like, no, those weren't good years. I'm not going to do that one. So you have all these different agendas that are running down there.
Well, I'm going to jump in on that because I have a slightly different take in that the qualities of consciousness are amusement and excitement and ecstasy and joy, and it is childlike in its wonder. And so when you are stepping into the light or when you are expressing your light, it does come out as childlike and joyful, and that is just, you just know that amusement is a quality of consciousness.
You know, that brings up a situation where children can be riddled with belief systems. This is something that I discovered recently at the local hardware store. It's still owner-operated and has wooden floors and a huge selection of things. And I was noticing in the hummingbird section where they have squirrel feeders and the rest, there was a video showing a brand-new kind of a swirling device that kept the squirrels off, and there was a talking squirrel on the video. Well, around the corner came these two boys, and the younger of the two was watching this video with me, and I was laughing and talking, you know, and thinking, oh, there's a talking squirrel. And his parents came around the corner, and they were in their 30s, maybe, and they looked very comfortable, and there was a baby stroller. They were had the perfect couple, nicely dressed. They had the three children, the two boys and the little kid and the baby, and they were walking slowly, and they were observing things, and they were just the perfect couple. And I could tell that they were just not happy. There was no joy. There was no spirit. And they were very restrictive and controlling with these kids, even though they were running around. And so I said, well, you know, look at this, a talking squirrel. And the kid looked at me, and he kind of put his arms on his hips and screwed up his face and said, that's nuts. And his little childlike, you know, where kids are just transported into magical realms, it was all gone. He was already shown that, you know, that's crazy. That's nuts, psychic things, empathic things, you don't know, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you could tell how that kid was going to turn out, most likely. And it was not, you know, I couldn't see any happiness or joy in those people. And I thought, why are you bothering? You've been, you know, you have the white picket fence, and so what? You know, your joy, you're confined, you're not expressing yourself, you're not even happy, but you look like the perfect family. You know, and that's what America has become. It looks like the perfect people, and it's a land of denial. Alcoholics and addicts and, you know, incest and pedophilia and the rest of it, it's all going on underneath the surface, and that is what the United States has come to mean. And it's looking good, and yet being miserable and then sneaking off and doing things that are underhanded. So, you know, these are things that are contrary to consciousness, and we have to wake up and smell the coffee, and it's burning.
Well, so I'm going to jump in there and glance, because that's all bottom of the fish tank kind of stuff. And, you know, if you're looking at the bottom of the fish tank stuff, all you're going to see is fish poop.
Well,
you know,
true.
And just to let you know that it's all consciousness, and it's all going on at the same time. What it's really an adventure in density and effort, to coin my phrase. You know, we jump into the fish tank it's really jump into the pool. It's swim time for us as consciousness. And there we can be extremely conscious and be creating an extremely limited life or extremely challenging life. It's like being an actor going into an Oscar-winning role. You're not going to typecast them, or you're not going to assume that, you know, they're a horrible, you know, human-eating, brain-eating person because they've got that role. That's just the role that they've chosen for this lifetime. So, you know, it's all a big game, you know.
Well, I would think that it's not just the United States. I think what you're describing, whatever it is, Lance, that most people don't operate out of their truth. Now, there are certain cultures and probably indigenous people that are very, you know, set up a little differently. But I think my experience of the world is that there is abuse everywhere. There are people in distress everywhere. There are people that are being abused on everywhere, you know, and is anyone being able to speak their truth and say what they need and want? So, you know, we certainly have the illusion of what the American dream was all about. And we all know the fallacy that that's a nice goal. It's not necessarily reality. And that people have in our society chosen to be certain ways, I would offer that was an opportunity happening there to say, huh, now, because in my frame of reference, I would go in that, well, this is interesting to observe this. Now, what would this be like if something magical could happen here? And drop into that state where maybe I was the opportunity to impact any of them because I chose to be different about it than them. And that some way I'm planting a seed that has a way to grow 20 years from now or 100 years from now, that something different happened because we had that moment in awareness. When I'm in a state of awareness, which is what you were in, you saw dynamics playing out. For me, that's the perfect place to go, ah, let's put a little heart into this.
And, right.
And because there are no rights and wrong in my world, This is me just observing this pattern playing out this way. And if anybody needed some awareness and enlightenment, it sounds like they did. And so it's like, whoa, what would it be like if they could all be having fun? Or what would it be like if I saw a smile out of somebody? Or, you know, that's the way I play with consciousness and going,
buddy,
huh.
This is a good time to segue off the show. we're running out of time, and, you know, I just love talking to you guys, and you reveal so much.
We love talking.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So before we sign off, just mention again where people can find you. And I just want to thank you for sharing with us tonight and expanding our awareness. It was wonderful.
It was a delight. Lance, I'm Janet Barrett. You can reach me at janetandbeyond.com for my website. And I co-host with my great partner, Joan, Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet on the BBS Network on Wednesday.
And my website is joan-newcomb.com. And you can also find the show on Facebook. Look up Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet and join the group and join the fun.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys for coming on tonight, and I'm sure that we'll talk again. All right.
Oh, we look forward
to it,
Lance.
Good night, everybody.